Amen. So they're going to come back again at the end of the service, the whole band, and we're going to expect some miracles, breakthroughs, and people are going to come out of depression, and God is going to do incredible things this morning. Amen. Okay. I'm Betts and Christopher, and I've decided to speak to you today of someone God picked up, dusted off, and decided to speak to you this morning. On April 16, 2025, I've got a text from Pastor Joel. Hey, Betson, are you available to preach this August? I blinked twice, wondering this text he really meant to me. I read it twice, and it said, hey, Betson, and it's me. And but right after that little surprise came a wave of reality. Betson, you might not even be here in Canada in August, because my work permit was set to expire on July 17, which is last month. And I applied for an extension, but if you've been tracking for the immigration trends for a while, it's not been a so favorable season for us. Wait times are long, rejection rates are high, and uncertainty. I had a choice to play it safe and say, I'm not doing it, or step out and say yes, even when everything looked unsure. Saying no would have been much easier. Joel could find someone else. But saying yes, knowing fully well that I might not even be here on that Sunday, was a risk. I prayed. I said, Lord, I am not a mighty man of faith, but I want to be faithful. You planted me here. You call me to be available for your kingdom, not when it's convenient and comfortable, but even when situations are uncertain. I'm going to say yes, not because that you're going to do something, but because I trust you. And I want to stand that on that Sunday morning and declare not just a message, but a miracle that you have made a way in my work permit situation. And church, today is that Sunday. I am not preaching, and I am not preaching because Joel invited me. Yes, he did, but it's also because God came through. A work permit was not only approved, it was extended for 3 years for me and my whole family. Sometimes God won't part the sea before we take a step. He says, you move first and then I will show you the miracles. Faith isn't just waiting for an evidence, but it's walking without seeing. And when you walk in faith, God will meet you with wonders, with breakthroughs and miracles and with supernatural power. Well, I once decided I was going to become a gardener. I watched a couple of YouTube videos, how to plant tomatoes, and I thought I can do it like a pro. I went out, bought a bag of soil, got a seeds and gloves and things like that, which I end up not using it, end up digging the holes with a plastic spoon. And I planted those seeds with faith, or maybe with confusion. I watered them with 2 days and left out for the remaining five, and overwatered them out of guilt. A few weeks later, nothing. Just mud and mosquitoes all around. I was mad at the soil, mad at the seed, mad at the sun, and even mad at God. But I realized the problem wasn't with the seed. The seed was fine. The issue was with the soil and the sower. And that's me in this case. And that's when I remember Jesus told the story just like this. Except his version had no mosquitoes, a lot more truth, and he was a much more responsible sower. And I would like to title the message today, Buried Yet Coming Alive, The Need of Master's Touch. Buried Yet Coming Alive, The Need of Master's Touch. In other words, there are seasons in life we may feel hidden, unseen, pressed down, but even in those buried places, God is at work. He is growing us, He is shaping us, and preparing us to rise with His power, His purpose, and His promises. Life brings us through all kinds of seasons, and some we celebrate and others we survive. But if you look back, you will often see God's fingerprints over all those difficult moments. His hand was protecting us. His grace was sustaining you. And His purpose was still unfolding, even when you didn't feel it. Sometimes the season we try to forget becoming the stories that God reminds us and others that we have a good, good Father. This morning, I want to take you beneath the surface with some eye-opening truths from one of the most interesting and a well-known parable in scriptures, the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. We have read it many times, and we have heard countless sermons. But as I was praying over what to share, this particular parable pulled my heart in a fresh and challenging way. You can find this parable in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I've decided to go with Matthew's account as it is slightly descriptive. Can we all read it together for a change? Is that okay? A farmer went out to sow his seeds. He was scattering the seeds. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop 160. Praise God this one for the wonderful scripture this morning. And Jesus was speaking to the everyday folks, farmers, fishermen, common laborers. And the sower is the Jesus in context in the text. Soil is the condition of the heart, and seed is the word of God. And here is where I got stuck. After reading this parable, a strange question hit me. Why does the sower seem so careless? Why is he throwing the seed on path, on rock, and thorn bushes? Did he know how to farm? Why not wait for the perfect soil? Why waste the seed? Did anyone wonder that? And then God corrected me gently but powerfully. And he said, "You are reading this through your own logic. Try to read in the lens of Jesus' world, his culture, and his heart." And later I realized I need to read this text from the cultural perspective. So I'm going to take you all to a little bit of history, a first century Jewish agricultural and cultural background. The sowing method used in the first century Palestine was broadcast sowing. Farmers didn't plant the seed in a neat rows like how we often do today. Instead, they used a broadcast method, scattering the seed by hand all across the field. The sower would walk along the paths and cast the seed in every direction. This explains why the seed fell in different types of soil: rockies, path, and thorny and good. The fields were so often open and unfenced, where public footprints running through them. This made it normal for the seed to fall on the hard trodden place where the seed couldn't catch up and grow. In Israel, many fields had a thin layer of soil over the limestone rock. It would look fertile at one glance, but the roots couldn't grow because down there is this limestone rock. Plants would shoot up quickly but wither under the hot sun. Initially, I thought the sower is foolish. He is an irresponsible. But now I understood the sower was generous in sowing the seed. The sower isn't careless. He is extravagant. The sower isn't wasteful. He is hopeful. The sower isn't random. He is merciful. He sows not because the soil is perfect, but because his heart is full of grace, compassion, and relentless love. The sower knows the condition of the soil, but still he sows generously. The parable of the sower isn't just a farming lesson, a mirror held up to the human heart. Church, I want to declare something this morning over you today. You carry the seed because the seed is the living, breathing word of God. And not only that, you are the fruit of that seed. And now, you too carry the word, the very seed that is in you. You are both the soil and the seed that receives it and the vessel that carries it. You hear some, we must understand something here. The seed and the soil are deeply connected. The seed needs the soil in order to release inside what's in deep inside of the seed. And the soil needs the seed because without it, the soil remains barren, unused, and unfruitful. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 2, 23 says, "For you are born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." You and I are the result of the word being planted in us. Let me say this way, the seed, the word of God is already within us. It's not missing. It's not far off. It's within us with full of potential and purpose. But there is a problem. It's not with the seed. The problem is with the soil. The condition of the heart. Too often our hearts are unprepared, hardened, distracted, or overcrowded with other things. And when the soil isn't ready, the seed can't grow. Even the seed has life in it. To see the word, the seed rise above the life surface, we must embrace three important key things. And number one, condition of your heart. Holy Spirit is the key. I want to repeat this word again. Holy Spirit is the key. Can we all turn to our neighbors this morning and say, Holy Spirit is the hero in our story. That's a good encouragement, eh? I like this farmer because he was generous. He was just broadcasting the seed wherever he sees there is a chance of growth. But here Matthew talks about four types of soil. The spiritually dead receiver. In fourth verse he says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Here Jesus showing the heart that's like a hard trampled path, unreceptive to the word of God. And he also said they did not understand it. This refers to the intellectual confusion, a failure to grasp the meaning of the message, or willful resistance, a conscious refusal or to receive it. Sometimes pride and self-sufficiency make us feel we don't need God, I'm all fine. And sometimes it's fear of change, fear of rejection, and fear of what others might think. And often it's distraction and busyness of our life that keeps the word away from taking root. It's possible to attend church, listen to sermons, still be like this kind of soil where the word is heard but never truly received to bring life. Secondly, he talks about the shallow receiver. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives with joy, but it couldn't stand long. The heart is excited, but not established. It responds emotionally, but not spiritually. When trials and persecution comes, there is no depth. And because of that, the word with us. The shallow receiver can shout on Monday morning, but cannot stand on Monday because there is no root in the spirit, only reaction in the soul. It's beautiful on the outside. They are in church, sing songs, quotes the words. But when the trial comes, when pressure hits, the faith, when faith costs something, they wither. This morning, God is calling out for a revival church. A state of change that breaks the rocky surface to see the word of God penetrating deep inside through this rocky surface to give root and to see fruits what God has intended of. Thirdly, the distracted receiver, a thorny soil, one of the most subtle and dangerous heart condition. This type of soil is hardened and it's not shallow, but it's crowded. Matthew chapter 13 and 22 says the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of the life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The thorny soil represents the heart that is open but overcrowded. The seed, God's word, lands, takes root and starts to grow, and so is the other things. And the other things are the distraction, worries, ambitions of this world, desires to compete. And that actually competes for God's space in our life. They hear the word, but they are double-minded. The word isn't rejected. It's just competing for space. God becomes one voice among many. They want both the kingdom and the comfort of this world. They live torn between faith and fear, spirit and self, calling and convenience. They are busy but not fruitful. They may be active in church, in motion, even doing good things, but there is no real harvest. Why? Because the spiritual growth has been strangled and overcrowded with the worries of this world. And this morning, God is calling out and reviving those heart conditions. And fourthly, the surrendered receiver. Matthew chapter 13 verse 23 says, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. The good soil is the heart that is surrendered, soft, and receptive. It's not just open to hearing the word. It's eager to receive it, nurture, obey, and multiply it. The power of the kingdom doesn't just rely on hearing the word. It's how we receive it and protect it and walk it out. And that's why it's very important for us to check the condition of the soil to see our heart is ready to receive and embrace the word of God. Because no matter how powerful the seed is, if the soil is not ready, it won't grow. And God wants to make you something out of you today. He wants to turn your vessel, turn your life into a vessel that carries His presence of God. We often approach the parable of the sower, trying to identify which four of this best categorizes ourselves. But we may fail to recognize that different areas of our heart can reflect different kinds of soil. For instance, one part of our life, such as faith, may be like a good soil, receptive and fruitful. Yet another area will be like unresolved pain, past wounds, hidden sin, not able to forgive others. May resemble the hardened path where the word of God actually cannot penetrate inside and take root. The parable isn't only about categorizing our entire life into one type of soil, but about humbly examining each area of our heart to see where we are still resistant, shallow, or choked by other things. In doing so, we are inviting to cultivate God in every part of our life. And He makes the good, it has a good soil, and where His word can grow and bear fruit. Church, God is ready to move this morning. He is willing. He is speaking. He is sowing. But many times we are not ready to receive. We want the breakthrough, not the process. We want the promise, but not the pruning. We want the blessing, but not the burden of obedience. And when the word of God comes, and instead of saying, yes, Lord, our hearts are pumped with a lot of questions. Why, Lord? When, Lord? And what if, Lord? And in doing so, we shut down what heaven is trying to activate in us. And let me tell you today, when our heart is not positioned right, we will begin to resist the very word that is sent to revive us. We are fighting against the fire that was sent to ignite us. We will reject the truth that was meant to transform us. But here is the good news. We are not in this alone. Preparing the soil of our heart is not just our job. It is the Holy Spirit's assignment. He is the one who tills it. He is the one who prepares it. He is the one who breaks it. And that's why Prophet Ezekiel proclaims in chapter 36. He says, and I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. And give you a tender and a responsive heart. Church, Holy Spirit is not an option. He is essential. He is not a backup plan. He is the key in our life. Let the Spirit of God prepare us this morning. Let Him work in us as we are waiting for a breakthrough. Number two, growing in the unseen. A very important, a critical part of our life. Growing in the unseen. The need of a master's touch. When God begins to work in your life, He first focuses on preparing your heart. But just because your heart is ready and the seed has been planted, it doesn't mean the result's going to be instant. Each person's journey with God is unique. The way He works in your life may look different from others. Often His works start beneath the surface, in the place no one else could see, including your spouse. Why not even including us? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The word of God planted in your heart is like a seed that contains life and purpose. But it must grow through a growth process. Underline this word, growth process. And that process begins in the unseen. What happens below the surface is just as important. Even it's more important what you're going to eventually see above the surface. In Mark chapter 4. Chapter 4:26 and 27, he says, a man scatters the seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows. What's that? Though he does not know how. This means there is a mystery in how God causes growth. Much of it happens out of sight in season of waiting, testing, and deep formation. This is what we mean by destiny concealed. When the word of God and calling is hidden in your life like a seed buried in the soil, you may not see this fruit right away, but that doesn't mean nothing is happening. Eventually, the destiny revealed will come, the visible fruit of your God's work in your life, but between the promise and the fulfillment, there is a process. Between the destiny concealed and the destiny revealed, there is a process, and that process is crucial. And that determines the depth, quality, longevity of the fruit you will bear. In John 12:24, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Trust God with the process. Choose to stay in the process. A very important point when you decide to allow God to work in your life. Let me start by reminding you are not forgotten. You are not out of God's sight. You are always in His radar. You are constantly on His care and attention. And no matter what, you are under God's spotlight. Can we turn to our neighbors, rub their shoulders and say, you are under God's spotlight. With a cheerful face, can we say, you are under God's spotlight. Amen. And that's why Psalmist says in 121, 3 to 4. Oh, I suddenly remember that word is important because sometimes husband doesn't appreciate wife and wife doesn't appreciate husband. So no matter what, you are under God's spotlight. Amen. Well, just that thought hit me. Okay. Psalms 121, 3, 4 says, he who watches over you will not slumber. He who watches over Israel will not sleep nor slumber. Sometimes it's easy for us to feel discouraged. You see God blessing others, people who don't even been so serious with God, and you wonder, why not me? I am faithful. I go to church. I serve. I pray. Why is it always me have to wait? But I want to hear this. God is working. Even when you can't see it, He is doing something deep inside you. He is building you. He is changing you. And He is preparing you for something greater. God is never late. He is always on time. As soon as you will see the God working in your life, and you will testify what this incredible God can do through your life. But that to happen, you need to trust the process and to stay in it. As soon as the seed sown into the earth, it doesn't show up immediately. It undergoes a process called germination. A little bit of science class. Is that okay? In the same way, the word of God that is planted in our heart, it enters a process called spiritual incubation, where God awakens your life, shapes your character, and forms the purpose that is hidden inside your soul. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11, can we all read it together? A powerful verse. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose. Can we give glory to God for this wonderful scripture? It will not go empty unless it accomplishes what it was sent for. I don't want to go deeper this morning. When you look at the seed, there are three important, a powerful story behind. Three important layers. Number one, an embryo, a plant inside itself. An endosperm, the food source. And the seed coat, your hard shell for protection. And most important thing is this, the seed coat. For the life to come out, the seed coat has to break. No growth happens until there is a breaking. In the same way, for the promise of God to come alive in your life, there must be a breaking on the inside. The word of God must break something inside you that hinders the spiritual growth. That may be our pride, our fear, our pain, our resistance. Because if it's there, we can't see the fullness of His promises. Again, it's not easy. Breaking is painful. It's uncomfortable. It makes you want to quit halfway down. But it's necessary. A quick turn to your neighbor and say, but it's necessary. It's necessary. And through it all, God is there right with you. And that's the assurance. In Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now let's be honest. Some of us have the seed coats. We've been hurt. We've been through trauma. We carry past wounds, deep disappointments, failures and regrets, addictions, fear, depressions, unknown and unknown future. These are all the hard seed coats. And God is trying to tell you. And you may be saying, I have tried to change Betson. I have tried to grow. I have done everything I can. But I still feel stuck. I couldn't make a progress. It's because you and I are trying to make the shell break by ourselves. And here is the good news. Every seed coat has a tiny pores, a small, minute pores that's there around the seed coat. And the work of this minute pores is the seed receives the water. The seed receives the nutrients from the soil. And once the seed receives the soil and nutrients from the tiny pores, there is a time the seed starts to swell up. When the seeds start to swell up, you know what happens? The seed coat starts to break. And when the seed coat starts to break, the very power inside the seed coat, the life inside the seed will start to show up. And that is the life that you see above the surface. And if that the small seed can do much more, we are created in the Heavenly Father. We are created by the Heavenly Father. God says the Holy Spirit is sending the essential nutrients. He is sending the power. He is sending the vitamins. He is sending the proteins to break your shell open up. And God is going to say, you're going to come alive. You are not buried. You're going to come up. Come on, give the Lord a mighty hands of praise this morning. Give the Lord a mighty hands of praise this morning. I'm sorry for the listeners who doesn't like to hear loved voice. I'm sorry. I was not speaking till 6 years old. God gave this voice, so I cannot hide it with myself. That's uncontrollable. And God says, let me take over. Let me shape you into the way I created you to be. You are not a mistake. You are a masterpiece in the making. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water. They will not fear when the heat comes and never fail to bear fruit. There is a move of God raising in the city of Regina, in the harvest city. And God wants to give a revival in this church. And this revival is flowing across the city of Regina. Oh, through whole of Saskatchewan and the whole of Canada. And I'm here to see that God is doing something marvelous. And there is a day that's going to come. The whole of Canada will stand against like an army of dry bones and declare, Canada is for Jesus. I am passionate for God. I want seeds to grow. And God is restoring life and giving life to people who are buried. Stay in the process. Keep trusting Him. Number two, journey with God during a difficult times. Life's darkest valleys are not the places where God abandons us. They are very workshops where He shapes us. During the spiritual incubation process, we must journey with Jesus during those worst moments. Number one, three important key points I'm going to highlight here. Number one, pour out your heart honestly with God when you are journeying with Jesus. The seed in the soil needs water to activate the life inside. The similar way, you need to allow the Word of God, the living water, to pour inside your heart. When the pressure is heavy, take it to Jesus. Be honest with Him. Don't try to pretend that you're all fine. Be honest with Him.
David says, I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. The powerful truth is, your tears in prayers are not the sign of weakness. They are the watering of seed that God has planted in you. Your tears are watering those seeds that's planted in you. Number two, remember God's faithfulness in the past. The storm we face have a tendency to make us forget yesterday's miracle. But remembering fuels our faith for today. When David was facing Goliath, he says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of lion, from the paw of bear, he is faithful enough to rescue and save me from this hand of Philistine. Darkness does not erase the design. It develops it. He develops the design in the darkness. And if he has done that before, he will do it again. If you're hopeless this morning, God is going to do that again in your life. Number three, get strengthened in God's presence. The seed cannot push through the soil by itself. It draws energy from the life stored inside and the nutrients around it. When David was going through one of the lowest points in his life, his family members, everything left and taken captive, and he was all alone, and he said, the Bible says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Worship is not a reward for when things go right. It's a weapon for when things go wrong. And that's why Psalm says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. The strength you need to break through will never come from within your flesh. It is coming from the true and ever-living God who is the master of work in this. Can I ask the worship team, the whole band, to come onto the stage as I close this morning? A moment to say, buried, yet coming alive. A very important part, a third point, buried, yet coming alive. Yes, I need to stay in the process. It's not going to end there. But there is a time where God comes and tells Betson that you are buried. Yes, that's true. Yes, you need to stay in the process. That's good. Yes, you need to prepare the condition of the soil. Yes, that's right. But it's not going to be the same forever. But you're going to come out and stay alive. And I'm going to do something marvelous. And that's the outcome. That's the outcome. In God's kingdom, burial is often the beginning of resurrection. The world sees burial as defeat, but God sees burial as planting. What a beautiful God. He sees burial as a planting to start something far greater. When the seed begins to sprout, it must push. Look carefully here. It must push against the weight of the soil above. And soon the fruit will grow for his glory. The same soil that once felt like a tomb for the seed, the same soil becomes a medium and strength for the stem to grow. Burial is an expansion. Micah chapter 7, 8 says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord Heavenly Father will be my light. The enemy may think that he has buried you, but God knows he has planted you for an expansion. I'm going to end with a small story. There was a missionary who went to Garo Hills. In mid-1800s, a revival started in Wales, England. And many missionaries, a revival broke out. So some of the missionaries traveled to East India, Meghalaya. Earlier it was called Assam, to a place called Garo Hills. And there is a man recited these words, I have decided to follow Jesus. These tribes are naturally known to fight against the enemies, cut their head and hang it on the walls of their room. And that cruel they are. The missionaries weren't welcome there. But one missionary got a chance to share the gospel to a man named Nongshin. He understood the gospel and accepted Jesus as a savior. His wife and his two sons too. His faith was so contagious, so few other families joined along with him. Now, the chief in the village got so triggered about this. He was angry. He was frustrated. He couldn't tolerate this. So he called the whole village and asked them to gather in a place. And he asked Nongshin and the family to come forward. And he gave them an ultimatum. Renounce your faith in Jesus or your children will be killed. Four people, Nongshin and his family standing there. Nongshin looked in the eyes of the wife and his children. And he looked above. And he said to the chief, I have decided to follow Jesus. The archers all were ready around. The chief gave a signal to those archers. The archers raised their bows. The arrows flew right through the chest of those two children. He just died on that place itself. The chief spoke again to him. Will you deny your faith now? You have lost your two children. You have left with your wife. Will you deny? The tears in his eyes, he looked back again to the chief and said, though none go with me, I will still follow. The signal was given again. The archers raised their bows. The arrow flew and hit the chest. Right there, she died. Now he was left with one option. He said, you have lost everything. I give you one last chance. One last chance. Will you deny your faith and save yourself? He looked up and said, the world behind me, the cross before me. And with that, he too was martyred. The story doesn't end there. The chief lost the sleep. He was disturbed. He was uncomfortable. He was all around roaming here and there. He couldn't sleep. And he was singing to himself, why did this guy have to lose the entire family? What happened? Why this guy have to do who was someone born in another continent 2,000 years ago? And he decided to find by himself. He found and then he understood, oh, there is a true and living God. He is the God, the Savior. Only He can deliver. He can give joy. He can give peace. And he accepted the Christ. And then he called the village all over again and said, from now on, I'm going to follow Jesus. The whole village accepted Christ. Church, this morning, what are we waiting for? Can we all stand in our place wherever we are? What are we waiting for? Nongshin had every reason to turn back. But he said, no, I'm not. And this morning, God has given you and me a special calling. And He wants to wake up your passion again. And there are some people here who are fighting with the thoughts of the evil, the demon. And you're not able to come up. But this morning, God says, come on, talk back to those devils. Talk back to those thoughts and say, no, I am not buried forever. I am coming back alive. Hey, depression, you cannot put me down. I'm coming back. Hey, cancer, you cannot put me down. I'm coming alive. Hey, sickness, you cannot put me down. I'm coming alive. Hey, I might be without joy. You cannot put me down. I'm coming alive. It's like this devil is sitting in the chair and saying, you don't have purpose. But God says, no, you have a purpose. Devil says, you are buried. No, I'm going to make you come alive. He says, you are living a purposeless life. And God says, your life is filled with potential and purpose. And He is reviving you. Come on, can we sing? I speak. Can we pronounce those places? The altar is open this moment. Altar is open. I want people to come forward. If you're fighting with depression, if you feel your seed is lost, I'm nowhere. If you feel you're sick, cancer will have come alive. Cancer is going to be dead and you're going to come alive. Healing is going to take place. This Sunday service will be a service where God's hand and God's hand and a miracle that takes place right in this place in the Harvest City. You might be a man of God. You might be leader, but you may still go through hidden sin. You may still fight. Come on. God is waiting and He says, let me take over. Let me take over. Speak the name of Jesus into the situation. Speak the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. His name carries power.
Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Addiction, smoking, alcohol, drugs. No, brother, I couldn't come out of it. God said, I'm helping you out. Come on. You're coming, friend, not for me. It's for God. You say, God, I want you to work in my life. All the call is not for the audience who's sitting there. It's for God to acknowledge you. I am available. Can you work, Lord? Can you work in me? Can you work in me? People who couldn't walk, having strain, come on. Healings are not happening only in the crusades. It can happen right here, right now. Jesus, your name is power.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing.
Your name is life.
His power. Oh, Rikada Rabba. His name carries miracles. He has his own way in doing things. He has got his own way in doing things. Oh, Jesus, his name. Your name is power. Come on. Your name is power. Come on, sing that again and again. The word of God is penetrating deep inside you. Can I ask the leaders of the church to lay over hands and pray? Pastors, the people who have prophetic gifts, come on. Come forward and pray over these people. There is a healing. There is a miracle.
Your name.
Your name is power.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing.
Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Medicine, I am not able to go through this hidden sin. I am picking out my life. I am singing songs, but inside the four walls, I am doing sin. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. I need help. Come on. There are people here to pray for you with heart of compassion. And Jesus is right there here. He's saying, hey, I'm going to make way for you. You enemy, you may think my seed is buried. But no, my God is saying, it's been planted for a reason. It's been planted for expansion. It has been planted for multiplication. You are not going to be the same. You're going to come alive. You're going to come alive. I could see the Spirit of God is coming down here. Receive the presence of God. Oh Jesus, your name is power. Your name is healing.
Your name is love.
We ask you, Lord,
break every stronghold.
demons go away in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit of God take over. Let the Spirit of God take over in Jesus' name. I'm seeing a vision where all the four sides of this wall is filled with the presence of God. You know the fire? The fire that consumes the sacrifice of the enemy. The fire that can consume, the break the altar of the enemy. The fire that can break. The fire that can break the chain. The fire that can break open. This God is here. On, maybe a minute more. Come on, Jesus. I give you a last and final call. If you're willing to come. Don't feel ashamed you to come forward. No one is going to judge you. God is right there. He is right there with you. He wants to open up. He wants to open up. The Spirit of God is at work. The healing. I'm again and again prompted to say the cancer is leaving in this place. Many people who go through the difficulty season, or the asthma, the cancer, the pain, the bone pain, the muscle pain, it's coming out. The chains are broken. The chains are broken. You are healed. You are healed. You are buried for a reason, but it's not forever. You're gonna come alive. You're gonna come alive.